You're listening to Potential Cast. This is episode 12 for season 1, Prophecy Girl. As the Spring Fling Dance approaches, Giles discovers an ancient book foretelling the Slayer's death at the hands of the Master.
That's it? That's the synopsis for, like, the best episode of the season?
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kim.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And this is Kevin.
Yay! Hi, Kevin.
Hey! Welcome, Kevin.
Oh, thank you, gang.
Okay,
and,
Kevin.
Loving every podcast doing.
I'm sorry. Tell us all your podcasts that you do.
Oh, goodness. Well, the regular ones that I do is The Signal, which is the Firefly podcast. The Scapecast, which is all about Farscape. The Seekercast, all about Legend of the Seeker. And if I can't cover enough, we also do Tuning It to Sci-Fi TV to talk about all the genre shows.
Yeah, I'm loving tuning in to sci-fi.
Oh, great. Thank you.
So, Prophecy Girl, written and directed by Joss Whedon. Season 1 finale.
Were there other episodes that were written and directed by Joss in season 1?
I think the pilot was.
Okay.
Very first episode.
Was it directed by Joss Whedon?
I'd have to go Googling to be sure, but I think so.
I think it's a good assumption. I said, what did we all think of the episode? I'm going to go out on a limb. Okay, first off, when I first watched the episode, because I watched the first season, I think, Steph, when you asked us to participate in this podcast, I watched the first season like in 3 or 4 days. And I remember thinking the finale was amazing. I loved the episode. But I watched it again last night. And I didn't have the same feeling when I was done watching the episode. I kind of was like, really? I thought it was that good? But I don't know what it was. Maybe it just felt kind of like, oh, okay, that was the finale? I enjoyed it better the first time watching it, definitely.
Well,
what did you guys think?
For me, this is actually the second time I watched it, because when Steph first started her Buffy watch, I thought I'd watch along, and then I stopped after a couple episodes in season 2, so I do remember having watched this finale of season 1 before, and I must say I enjoyed it much better the second time around.
Oh, really?
There's one part of the finale I can't stand, and that's when Angel, Xander, and Buffy are... walking rather than running to the rescue, and the theme music is playing. I could not. It was so cringeworthy.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I personally felt that it really was jarring, and it clashed with the spirit of the rest of the episode, which I thought was really, really good, and it was quite
totally agree.
You know, much better than the rest of the season was. And then they put this thing in, which really kind of seemed, I don't know, cheesy.
Can't
you know,
be. Yeah.
There was lots of fromage in that scene.
Well, I think it's interesting because going back now and rewatching the series multiple times, as campy as that is, as a fan, I can't help but do a fist pump when you see that, only because
exactly.
You kind of know.
On one hand, I want to cringe, and on the other hand, I want to like pump my fist in there. So
it's
I don't know.
Yeah, this is the beginning of the real Buffy.
Hmm. Yeah? Oh, gosh.
You thought you were done hating Buffy, Kim.
I know, right?
Little did you know.
Gabby, what did you think?
Gabby, what did you think?
You know, I still love the pack the best, but I really love this episode. I still love the pack the best, but this was really good. And the first time I watched it, I just sat there and I couldn't believe that it was over when it was done. When I was just sitting there, and the whole 42 minutes or so just flew by. The second time I watched it, it kind of dragged in parts, but I started noticing some things that I didn't notice before. So that was kind of good, and I don't know. The part when they walked didn't bother me all that much, but I remember in my head I'm thinking, what? What's this all about all of a sudden? I don't know. So... weird.
Yeah. The second time watching it, I realized the parts that I really loved, I really loved. The parts I really hate, I really hated. And then I'm just like, you know what? This is like the perfect episode to sum up the whole season, because when it was really good, it was good. And when it was really bad, it was real bad.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. This one managed to bring me to tears again. So, I know.
Was it when Angel at the end told her that he liked her dress?
You mean her incredibly boring dress? No. No.
I bet you I know what part it was. Was it she's like, yeah. I'm only 16. I don't want to die.
And you had your whole life ahead of you. Must be nice.
That was lame. Yes.
But it was still touching.
Once again, I think they really enjoyed the use of slow motion, because they opened the episode with it, and it was one of the best bits of the entire episode.
Oh, yeah, with Buffy slaying the vamp in slow motion. That was great.
I loved it.
Cordelia. Just steaming up the car. Hilarious.
Well, this is also one of the first times we get to see a lot of the, and a lot of this will come in the future, the real honest and sometimes painful character interactions, you know.
Like, what do you mean, Kevin?
Well, like with Xander putting himself out there to ask out Buffy.
Oh, that was, yeah. Oh my god.
Not that I've ever been there, but boy, I bet that hurts, you know.
Well, Kevin, let me ask you this.
Music of pain.
Kevin, I heard that Joss had said that he considered putting Buffy and Xander, hooking them up at one point in time. When would it have happened? Like early on, like this, or later on, like towards the end, or when?
Oh, that's a heck of a good question.
Xander and Buffy don't get together? Is that what you're saying, Seth? Did you just spoil that for me? No, I'm kidding.
I don't know. I didn't hear any real details on it. I think, as you guys have mentioned in some of your previous episodes, though, I think as these actors have found these characters over the course of these first 12 episodes, I think they saw the excellent, you know, friendship vibe and the whole Scooby gang, and didn't want to mess with that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't want it to be messed up, you know, their friendship. That would be icky.
Yeah.
I think it was made abundantly clear that the relationship of the series is going to be between Buffy and Angel. So I think throwing Xander in the mix would just confuse things. Do we have any emails we want to discuss?
Oh, yes. Let's see. I want to read, you know, I had said that in celebration of ending season one, I was going to write a rap, but I can't find it. So I got Brad to write a haiku.
Nice.
This is Brad. Yo, Sunnydale cops. Should you maybe check out that teenage speakeasy? Granted, there's all those missing purses and dead teens you also ignore. Titanic, Hanson, and season one of Buffy. Thanks, 97. Your most awkward year. Finally, we are through it. My brain has been slayed.
Awesome. Brad, that's the best bike who's ever.
Thank you very much, Brad.
Oh, that was awesome.
We have an email from Taryn Miller about Prophecy Girl. Can we read that one?
Okay.
Sure, anybody ahead, but Neil. Me.
Kim.
No way.
Okay, so I'll read it.
Last week's? You crazy?
I'll read it. This email comes to us from Taryn Miller. Hey, Gax. This email is for when you get to Prophecy Girl, Season 1, Episode 12. Not only is this my favorite episode in the Season 1, but it makes my top 10 favorite episodes ever. This is really where the show starts picking up, and it gives you a deep look into the characters. And it has the fantastic line, Giles, I'm 16 years old. I don't want to die. My heart breaks every time I hear that line, because it's not fair for a 16-year-old girl to have to lay down her life so that everyone else can live. Also, Sarah Michelle Gellar's acting is so fantastic in that scene. She's really come a long way since episode one. Oh, and in defense of Cordelia, watch Angel. Her character develops in so many ways, and by the end of the series, she will be one of your favorite fictional characters of all time. Then it becomes
That's
fun
a bold
to...
statement.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to let Gabby respond as soon as the email's done. Then it becomes fun to go back and watch her when she's shallow and superficial in the early days of Buffy, because you know just how awesome she will be. Anyway, thank you for doing this podcast. It's great to have an excuse to watch Buffy again. And Stephanie, I love your accent. A Southern girl is just what this podcast needed. Lots of love, Taryn. Grr, arg. Thank you, Taryn.
Thank you, Taryn.
So, Gabby?
What? Yes. I don't love Cordelia yet.
All right. Oh, yet. There, good. I good. Said she said yet. There's a chance.
Maybe I'll turn tell. Around. But not
love
now.
To hate her. Come on, we love to hate her.
All right, so you ready to talk about the episode?
Yeah, points of revelation.
Points of revelation.
There's a skylight over the library. Who knew? Where did that skylight come from?
I think suspension of disbelief.
Okay. Got you.
That's the go-to.
Aw.
That's the go-to, yeah.
Any other points, Steph?
Nerds were in 1997.
They were still in.
I mean,
still in.
I know they're in now, but were they really in 1997?
I seem to recall in 97 being so nerdy that we were doing nerdy music. You know, I was in a progressive rock band in 97, and people actually showed up to listen to us. So, yeah, I think nerdy was in.
Cool.
Okay. That was like the beginning of...
I think it was the beginning because it was definitely the dawn of the internet age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
very much so.
Most people had email addresses that were in school, you know, in 97. So I think it was definitely the beginning of that. And GeoCities was all the rage.
Oh my God, I had a GeoCities website.
Yeah, I had about
It was all about the Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet's back, baby!
All right. Maybe I don't want to believe that. So maybe you could bleep that
no
out
problem.
Again.
just send me a direct message. I can remove any incriminating things you've said, just like last time.
So old. Like, they even say stuff like, oh, when I was surfing the net. Like, who
I
says hear, that
yeah,
anymore?
When Ms. Callender said that. I was surfing the net. They sent out another global email.
Yeah, like a global, what'd she call it? A global blast? Like
a global
is
blast,
that like
yeah.
a tweet or is that like a blog? It
no,
was weird.
What
the hell is she talking
because,
about?
In the early days, before message boards were really that popular and Usenet was really not very easy to use, what people had is you would subscribe to email lists. And so someone would have an email list going and then you could subscribe to it. I mean, people still do that now. Like I'm on an anti-nuclear proliferation list and a green ecology list, and I get, you know, like some of my communist stuff that way. But it's the kind of thing that was really the rage back then because, you know, oh my God, you can get all kinds of messages and people could actually reply to everybody, but it was still all anonymous. So it was kind of like, that's what she was talking about. It was like a global blast of emails that you would subscribe mm-hmm. to. So it was like pre-Twitter.
Well, I know like in iRobot Eugene, she referred to an email as an e-letter or something like that. And I mean, it's just so funny that back then they were like things, the names of things weren't really set yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are now.
It was still very ambiguous. It was still very, okay, how do we refer to this? I mean, I remember, and it wasn't that long ago, when people were like, okay, how do we treat electronic correspondence? Do we end with sincerely? Like, do we go as formally as we would with, you know, like written letters? Or, you know, like people are still trying to figure out how you sign off on an email, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was decided that you would end with a stupid joke. Everybody had those for a while.
Yeah. Or a quote that you thought was meaningful.
Well, that's how we end this podcast, so don't make fun. All's fair. Any other points, anybody?
Well, I kind of like the symbolism of Buffy and her dress.
Mm-hmm.
What's the symbolism?
Well, to me, I take it at that point that she wants that normal life so bad that, heck, if I got to go save the world, I'm going to at least do it looking good.
Kind of took it as her being dressed in white, being very pure, trying to get rid of all the evil in the world. That's how I took her white dress.
I have a different take on it. I think that she was more kind of Bride of Frankenstein in that dress.
Yeah.
And I think that her altercation, and it's something that comes up in season 2, episode 1, in something she says, but it's definitely, I have a theory that might be spoilery, so I'm reluctant to mention it, but there's something about that dress, and there's something about the fight and the way she died that makes me pretty darn convinced that that dress being white and it kind of being analogous to a wedding dress is no accident. But that's kind of my take on it so far. As someone who's spoiler-free and the people that know already probably can judge if I'm being extraordinarily ridiculous or quite apropos, I thank you for your silence either way.
See, well, that's interesting. I've never really thought about it that way. The only thing, when I see that dress, all I know is it's kind of, it's almost the same dress that Christy Swanson wore in the movie.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And that's all I think of.
Okay. Cordelia learned how to drive. And boy, nice parking brake turn and you know, that was pretty awesome driving job for somebody that, you know, hits someone on a bike one day and almost kills the driving instructor the next and she stops being able to see.
Mm-hmm.
And something that really bothered me when after Xander gets rejected from Buffy and Willow's asked by Cordelia for help, and she says sure, but she notices that Xander doesn't look like he's very happy about it. She asks him how it's going, and then he ends up asking Willow to the spring fling, and then her reaction was, no. Do you think I want to be there with you wishing you were with Buffy? And she says, that's not my idea of high jinks. And that really bothered me, because it's not high jinks, it's high jinks. And it seemed like she was saying it is two separate words.
Wow.
And it's not two separate words. It's one word. And you, little things like that, where I'm wondering, is English not Allison Hannigan's first language? Because that's a very common, like, English as a second language mistake. Right? Pardon? Pardon?
I say maybe it's not Josh Whedon's first language, because he wrote it, right?
Maybe, I don't know, but like, it was such a weird reading, because it's hijinks, right? Am I right? It's hijinks.
Yes.
Right. I don't know. I'm being too neurotic, I know, but come on, Willow.
Maybe it's the West Coast way of saying it. Like, online or inline. There's hijinks and hijinks.
But there's only so much disbelief that I can suspend.
And hijinks is it.
That's the final drop in the bucket.
Because a she-mantis, you'll buy that. And...
Definitely. Definitely. She was hot.
But hijinks, no.
No. Hijinks is
cross the line.
Hijinks? I don't know. Just write me off as being neurotic on this one, but it did bother me. But I really did appreciate that Cordelia did pick up some mad driving skills.
Well, I was hoping that the scene between Xander and Buffy when he asked her to the dance and she politely declined, that I thought that was such a really good scene because, you know, I think teenagers watching it at the time or you know, those who the show's catered to, a lot of guys wish that they had the courage to ask out their crush or like the hot girl or whatnot, but they're afraid of what might happen. I'm like, what's the worst thing that could happen? She'd say no, but you'd still go on, right? And I really enjoyed that scene. I kind of liked afterwards that they were still friends, even though I know it's like a weird teenage show, but I like that scene a lot.
You wish that guys, especially when you were a teenager, guys would be more straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Because even I can relate to Xander in that scene, because I asked a guy out once, flat out said, hell no. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks. But at least I asked, you know, and I think that was a good lesson.
So. Aww, that's your Who the Hell is Debbie story.
Yeah. Was it because of what you wrote in his yearbook, or
no? No, but one, the thing that I absolutely hated, worse than probably your hijinks, was right at the end. Because I think this is a problem with a lot of TV movies in general, is that they don't know how to end a certain chapter or end something. But after, you know, you just slayed the master and everyone almost died, they all kind of giggle and be like, hey guys, let's go to the prom. And it was just so weird.
Well, it was actually a callback to a line that Xander said, we'll something, you'll slay, we'll party. And it was almost exactly word for word. Well, we saved the world, let's party.
It's a bit on the nose. And
how is she going to explain those scratch marks on her chest at the prom? That's what I want.
And the wet
know.
Hair.
Yeah. The wet hair. Well, you know, you can dry your hair.
But it's said in such a sad way that at the end of the episode, I was just left with such a feeling of sorrow because there was just so much heartbreak during the entire episode. And then I was suspicious when, you know, they just walk out of the library and there's, you know, a skeleton just sitting there like, no, whatever, we'll go to the bronze and let's party or whatever. I'm like, seriously? That sounds like a really bad idea. Yeah. And then they just leave and it ends. And I'm like, seriously? It was just so sad.
Yeah, it was such a weird ending, like a note to leave it on. But what else could they do in the 42 minutes that they had, right? So, I don't know, unless they made it a two-parter, but they couldn't have, you know, but it just felt awkward. You know, like when you end on an offbeat, it just didn't have a closed ending for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also think that's part of where the world of Buffy is kind of showing you those two sides. I mean, the world's about to end, and we have to save it, but everyone still wants to be the average teenager. Mm-hmm. And that's where they're trying to shift the mode from, you know, the death-defying act right back to the, hey, let's just have a normal life.
Yeah.
Okay, in the beginning, the Master caused an earthquake. and then when Buffy was out patrolling, she said she killed, like, three vampires. And she could tell that something was up and that it was getting worse. Like, she killed one. It was practically on school property. Mm-hmm. And then that Saturday, they came in and to get ready for the dance. And the vampires had been there and killed those guys in the
AV room.
Like, the AV room, yeah. And so, and that meant that things had changed because the vampires had come in on their territory. Mm-hmm. They'd come into the school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? What else happened to show that the apocalypse was coming?
Oh, a kitten had a litter of snakes. The baby was born with its eyeballs pointing inwards, which I thought was just really freaky to say on TV.
Yes, like, that's bizarre.
That I don't know. Don't want to hear that. And there was one more thing this calendar mentioned.
A family was swimming, and the water started to boil.
Oh, yes, and the lake started to boil.
Crazy.
It was definitely, I wasn't, I guess all season long, I didn't really understand the link between the Master getting out and it being like the apocalypse. I thought maybe it was just going to be like a pretty big cataclysm, but I didn't think it was going to be like end times.
The world ending
scope, you know? Yeah. What I mean?
Well, when the master gets out, then he will take over the world.
I see.
It's the feeling that I got from it.
Yeah.
Mm. No, oh, but I remember I was looking at Buffy's dress and I'm like, again, I always go back to the fashion. I'm like, really? That was like the hottest dress you could have gotten to wear. But hey, what else am I?
It was, I thought it was, I even put it in my notes. I'm like, it's a pretty dress, but it was just boring. I'm like, seriously? Mm. I'm like, those are like the prom dresses they were wearing back then? That didn't make any sense to me. I thought that was weird.
Well, My prom dress was around the same time. I think I was maybe a couple years later, but it was the same. My dress was long and silver, and it had like a black sash around the middle. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of this. It was. It looked the same. It was long. It had that really ugly square top with the thick strap.
Mm-hmm.
and it just, oh, every time I see them wear, like when they get dressed up or when they do anything, where they're wearing, you know, the fashions of the time,
mm-hmm.
It's such a blast from the past for me, because I look at it and I'm like, oh my god, I totally dress like that, and ugh. I don't know why that is the worst thing.
What makes me cringe is velvet. Yeah, velvet gets me. That's what bothers me. Like, ah.
The crushed velvet. Oh.
90s fashion to me is bland, and there's like nothing that stands out, because you know, in the 80s, you know, when you think of 80s fashion, you know
it's like leggings over the top, yeah,
and neon. Black colors and neon and big hair, and you know what was in style in the 80s, but what was in style in the 90s, I can't tell you. It was such,
oh,
a bland
god.
Time.
I like pirate blouses.
Oh my god.
Crushed velvet.
Half shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those long sleeves.
Oh yeah, baby
long
tees.
Half sweaters, baby tees.
High waisted. Yeah. Ugly styles is what it was.
Ooh, mom jeans and this is funny. It's high waisted pants, but then like half shirts that stuff right
yeah.
under your chest.
Yeah.
Like, what's that all about? Remember hypercolor shirts?
Like, my hypercolor shirt didn't work.
Because, see, you know, in 1997, 98, I was pregnant. So, style, I had no idea what was in style. I didn't care what was in style.
All you cared was what was comfortable.
Let's talk about the realization that it apparently the Hellmouth was directly underneath the library.
Surprise!
Oh, y'all didn't know that, did you?
Nope.
No, everybody assumed it was under the bronze.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby, were you disappointed that the Hellmouth wasn't under the bronze, or were you happy because it wasn't destroyed?
I was. First, I wrote big, huge note, I swear, in all caps, the Hellmouth is the bronze! I was all excited. And then I crossed out and said, no, the library. Aw, shucks.
Yeah.
Was there, okay, is it significant that it's under the library and not the bronze? Like, is it a big deal?
I think it's surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, just that the final battle happens, it takes place
in the stacks.
You know, there. Yes.
under the skylight.
Yeah. Anyone else think that monster was, what's the word I'm looking
pretty
for?
Pretty crude?
I had
feed me Seymour?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Feed me Seymour?
It was very little
horrors.
Here
we go.
That's exactly the reaction I had. And I meant to write down it on note. And the little notepads here at the Ramada are really tiny. And I just didn't have room.
Well, I did get a little bit freaked out when the thing wrapped around Willow's leg.
Yeah,
and it pulled her really fast. That actually made me go, oh, that was kind of, you know.
Yeah,
surreal,
although while watching it, I'm like, I can just imagine off camera Joss Whedon wiggling this thing, and
yeah,
making it look like it's approaching her leg. She had nice shoes on. I noticed her shoes.
Yeah, they weren't dorky at all.
Pardon me?
They weren't dorky at all.
Not at all. Okay, so Cordelia bit one of the vampires. Does that mean that that vampire is going to turn into a supreme bitch? Because I don't know. You know, it should work both ways, I think. And that's the thought that went through my mind. See how you like it. That was awesome. She really is like completely oblivious, which kind of makes her perfect for those kinds of situations.
That's why you love to hate her.
Yeah. Although I really am warming up to her. I really am warming up to Cordelia, I must say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still well, wondering what you her purpose think. Is going to be.
Pardon?
I was saying I'm still wondering what her purpose is going to be because she's such a superficial character and we just got a tiny glimpse of, you know, her insights the last couple of episodes, but I don't know how much of her I can take when she's saying stupid things like that. See how you like it. But we'll see.
Kevin, you said...
Oh, you said Kevin.
You were saying that you were curious.
I was going to say... Well, after the comments you folks made in the Invisible Girl episode about now that Cordy kind of sees some of this, and now, obviously, after this episode, she's totally on the inside as far as knowing the whole Hellmouth thing. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, where that kind of goes, as well as the comments Willow made about Miss Callender.
Which comment? I don't know.
Well, talking about when they're all in the library, when Miss Callender starts talking about the apocalypse, the end of the world, and Willow's basically, how'd she get in the club? Yeah. You know, that kind
Who
of
let thing. Her in the group? Yeah. I forgot about that. It was very good.
Yeah. We're getting a few more folks who kind of realize what's going on here.
Although I do hope it stays a show where most people aren't in on it. You know what I mean? Where this stuff isn't out in the open. Because I think I will enjoy it more if it's more of a... Only these people
secret.
Are... Yeah, definitely.
Because when it's a secret, you feel like you're in on it, too. Because if everybody knows, who cares?
So the Anointed One's purpose was to take Buffy by the hand, awkwardly, I might add. Didn't look like he knew how to put his hand out to be held. And bring her down to the Master. That's it. That's all? Really? That's all we've got? The culmination of the Anointed One is he's basically a maitre d' showing her to her table.
I don't know if it's spoilery or not. And Steph and Kimmy, you can say yes or no. But like the Anointed One, I feel like he has a bigger part in season 2, and possibly beyond. And you can say yes or no. Because he can't just grab her by the hand and take her down and be like, "See you guys."
He is back.
Yeah, we will. We will see. Say that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, these aren't the droids you're looking for kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. But I enjoyed Xander and Angel together, you know, because they both love her going to look for Buffy.
That was great. You're in love with her, aren't you?
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, isn't everyone in love with Buffy? Come on now.
Apparently.
Giles was really, really upset about the whole, you know, she's going to die thing.
Because he's watching her.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't want her to die. Yeah. When she finds out, Christine, and she doesn't want to die.
When she finds out, she totally loses it. Oh, no. She totally loses it that she's prophesied to die.
I don't know. Giles reminds me of, like, her surrogate dad. You know?
He is her father figure.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, quite interesting to watch it develop.
Yes. Oh, and nothing makes me cry. Nothing in the show makes me cry more than that.
Their father-daughter relationship?
And,
yes.
And mysterious things that we don't know about yet.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know the story. You don't want to give us anything.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait. we have to.
It's not that it's hard. It's exciting to know what you folks still have coming.
Right.
Like the whole.
I have some thoughts about Willow. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, tell us, Gabby.
Go ahead.
It's your turn.
Okay, I could be. I don't know. Maybe because I was tired when I was watching it a second time or whatever. But I started noticing, okay, we know the episode's called Prophecy Girl. We're assuming that it's all about Buffy because it's all about Buffy all the time. But then I started thinking over the past few episodes and then a couple things pop up in this one that make me think, maybe we have some foreshadowing about some stuff coming up with some of the other characters. In particular, Willow, in this one, may be a racy suggestion, but I'm thinking there might be, because there's that joke that they make about Buffy, if she has feelings for her and for Buffy, she's keeping it close to the chest, ha ha ha. And then like later somebody makes she responds to Cordelia's question about like, man, I don't know why we put up with them, and she's like, I hear ya. And then something else I'm wondering if we may be hinting at that maybe at some point Willow might be liking the ladies.
She's Lebanese.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's funny, Gabby, because like when Xander said that, I kind of chuckled to myself because I'm like, it'd be weird now after all that we know if Willow is a lesbian. But I wouldn't be shocked because
lesbian.
At that,
sorry. Yes.
You know, because like around that time. When all those shows, like especially the shows on like the WB and whatever UPN at the time, they always had to throw one random gay character in there. I'm thinking like Dawson's Creek when one of the guys all of a sudden was gay, and I was like, oh, okay, awesome.
Was his name Token?
But like, he was Jack.
Oh.
But yeah. And like, it would be too easy. Like, character would be the easiest one to make gay? And I think, Willow.
But she doesn't wear Birkenstocks.
She what?
She doesn't wear Birkenstocks or anything. Maybe
not yet.
Maybe that comes later.
It's probably when she goes to college and she experiments. So we have to wait until they grow up.
Terrible stereotype jokes. I know. I apologize, but not really, because it's funny. And I'm not going to apologize. And it is true. The thing is, I also enjoy Birkenstocks. And I like the ladies as well.
So are you saying you're a lesbian?
I think we're veering off track, and that's what I'm going
to
say.
Anyway,
but that's interesting, Gabby. I hadn't really thought of that, but you know what? You might be right. Who knows what they're going to have in store for us? I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be shocked at all.
No, because I mean, I know that they're playing up the longing, and she seems to have a very serious crush or be in love with Xander or whatever, and that would be great, but you know, that
it would
I
be
don't,
typical.
You know,
and
I was,
right?
Yeah, I was pushing for that for a while, but I'm like, yeah, he's still hung up on Buffy. He's never not going to be hung up on Buffy, I'm thinking. So I'm like, they just lots of weird comments and that kind of thing. And I can already tell from some of the dialogue and the things that happen. I'm like, wait a minute. Those aren't just words. Something's got to be leading to something, and I just couldn't shake it. So that's my prediction.
Ooh, well, is that your crackpot theory?
That is my crackpot theory.
Everybody loves Buffy.
Yeah. I found Buffy's mom to be tragically, you know. Sometimes I know exactly what you're thinking, and you're like, boy, you really don't know what she's thinking at all.
No.
You really don't. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to impart her wisdom from her own experience, and you're like, if you only knew what your daughter's dealing with, you poor thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have no clue. But I really enjoy when Buffy's like, let's go away. Let's go on a road trip. You know? And try to just run away from her problems.
The gallery's open on the weekends. Like, it's such an obvious cry for help.
Yeah.
The mom's like, no, I have to go to work.
Go to work. You silly. What's wrong? Are you trying to run away from someone and something bother you? Is someone after you? None of that. It was, no, you know the gallery's open. Period.
Exactly. But yeah, we can pick at this episode all we want. But I must say, I super enjoyed it the first time watching it. Second time, I had it much more of a critical eye, yeah, and didn't quite enjoy it as much. But by far, if you compare it to the rest of the season, it's right up there, probably the best. Maybe not. Maybe even number two for the season.
The only problem I had with it was, the action is so hard to see because it's not lit well.
Oh my goodness. It's so dark.
Yeah.
It's very dark.
It's just so painful to try and watch. And like, I'm watching it on my computer screen because I'm on the road, and I'm trying to tilt the screen to see what the angle, you know, no angle is going to help. It was, anyway, but I'm really hoping it gets better soon. The cinematography gets better. But does it get better soon?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, you know, bigger budget next year.
Yeah.
Next
yeah.
season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because all of these first season one episodes were shot together.
They were, weren't they? Like, all straight through?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in advance, even before they aired. So, again, it was shoestring budget.
All of them were aired. So, all of them were filmed before they aired?
I believe pretty close to it.
That's really...
Because, again, it was just it was a 12-episode run as a fill-in. There was no guarantee they'd be back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they certainly... they really did end it on a high note, though, I must say. You know,
you did.
I really kind of, because I remember when we first started the podcast, Steph, and you had mentioned how every season maybe has like the big bad, and
yes,
it was really cool because as soon as I started seeing how things were gonna end and how the master was gonna be defeated, and although I was disappointed that the master's time on Earth versus Buffy was quite short, I'd kind of hoped that it would last maybe an episode or two when the season-long arc was developing. I really did feel that when he was being defeated, I was like, you know what? I understand. This is the big bad for this season, and this will be over, and then next season there's going to be something else, which is what I'm expecting. We'll see.
First step.
Sometimes it's kind of hard to judge.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not as simple as this. Sometimes it's kind of complicated.
Hmm. It's like real
and,
life.
Yes, and it's not... Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to tell who the big bad is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was definitely kind of satisfying, though.
Yeah.
Although that... They weren't running to the rescue. They were walking to the rescue. They were practically sauntering to the theme music to the rescue.
To the beat.
You know, and it was, the music playing was not.
That will never happen again. The theme music will never play in an episode.
Good.
Thank
goodness, because that was not very good. And it wasn't that
but
it was
I did
that.
Like the reprise of the theme song later on in the episode.
Yeah,
that in was the good. Score. Yeah. Yes, that was nice.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
we didn't even talk. I was really shocked that Buffy actually died. How come we didn't talk about this?
Oh, yeah.
She actually died.
Can I just say something maybe obvious and stupid?
Uh-huh.
Shouldn't she be a vampire now?
She didn't drink any blood.
Right. She has to have his blood.
Okay. So is that the way it works?
Xander saved her, I guess, by giving her CPR.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, because Angel couldn't, because he has no breath.
No breath.
But he can smell the gas.
Listen, I explained this to you before in the last episode.
Technicality. Come on. Look past it.
It's funny, though. I have no breath. Like, I would, but sorry. Loophole.
But he makes that announcement multiple. I mean, he has to tell people this. Yeah.
Well,
yes, I have no breath.
Not everyone's familiar with the physiology of a vampire.
Yeah. So, you know, every time, like, True Blood starts or The Vampire Diaries start, I have to think, okay, now what are the rules of this world?
Yeah, because they're not consistent.
You know, it's all different. Every vampire story is different.
That's why I like the Lost Boys. They could fly and do, like, wicked stuff.
and they were only out at night, so they didn't have to wear rings, so that they could be awake and, you know, around in the sunlight. Da-da-da.
Oh, Gabby, I'm so pissed. The Lockhart. The Lockhart? The Lockwoods.
The Salvatores?
The Lockwoods. Oh. No, the Lockwoods have a MacGuffin. I was so pissed.
I saw you tweet about that, and I had to Google MacGuffin to remind myself what it was about.
Yeah, like, what's a MacGuffin?
The thing.
It's a thing.
Sure.
Everybody in Vampire Diaries has a thing.
Okay.
I can't stand it. It drives me nuts. Do you know what I'm talking about, Kevin?
Yes, I do. I do watch Vampire Diaries as well.
Am I the only person here who doesn't watch it?
But I watch Vampire Diaries, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
I still haven't gotten caught up. I'm still, like, three episodes behind.
episode tonight.
I saw the pilot of Vampire Diaries at Comic-Con in 2009, and we were sitting with Jay and Jack and Colleen, and Stuart was there and a bunch of people, and we were riff-tracking it like crazy.
Yes, because it's not good. It starts out very much like Twilight. Mm. And from the pilot, you would think that it's just a Twilight.
It's horrible. But it's a good show. It's really good.
Oh, okay.
Good,
but it turns into more. There's
and
a lot more.
I was also disappointed that Ian Somerhalder shows up in the last 5 minutes of the pilot. I'm like, are they going to do this every episode where he's only going to be there for like 2 seconds?
No. Oh, no. Okay. No. Goodness.
Yes. He's by far the best part of that show.
Yeah.
Not surprising. I mean, come on. Yes. It's Boone.
It takes 4 or 5 episodes to get going.
It's Boone.
He's so good at being bad. He's the best part of that. Yeah,
he really is.
He's amazing.
He really is.
All right, when we're done with this show, I'll let myself watch another vampire show.
Buffy.
But I can only have one.
So if we're gonna rate this show out of 10, what are we going to give it? Or whatever rating system you have this week.
I'm going to change my rating system after season 1. I think every season I'll use a new rating system.
Okay.
It'll be my MacGuffin.
Let's let Kevin go first. What do you rate it as, Kevin?
Well, again, because of hindsight now and being able to see a lot more, I would probably give it, I would say probably 8.5 cheesy fist pumps on the whole hero walk with the music.
Nice. Now, Kevin, does the bronze's appearance reflect itself in your ratings at all? Or?
I'm not stepping on Gabby. I'm letting her have that one.
Awesome.
So.
Thank you.
Gabby?
There was the bronze. unfortunately, the bronze was not the sight of the Hellmouth, so I'm going to have to deduct some points.
Don't get all Russian judge on us now.
Yeah.
But I still love the pack the best.
Yeah.
So as much as I like this episode, yeah, the pack is still my favorite so far. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
I have to agree with you, Gabby, on that, even though that'll be after my first viewing. I think after my second viewing, it probably dropped down to about an 8. Mm-hmm. Because little things would bother me, kind of like high drinks for Illyrio, but little things like that would just get under my skin, and I'd be like, really? I thought it was that good? But no, it actually is good, and I'm kind of looking forward to what happens next season. So I quite enjoy it. But before we hear Stephanie, I kind of want to ask Kevin a question. When you're listening to this podcast and you hear, like, we have these crazy theories, or someone will send us an email you think is a little bit spoilery, as a listener listening to it, how do you feel? Like, are there times where you're like, no, don't go there? Or you're like, oh, you're on the right track? Or are there things that we should be looking out for, like little hints you can give us that you might want to give us? Or no?
Wow. Talk about a minefield. Oh, no, listening to the podcast, I sometimes wonder what the drivers next to me think as I start laughing and pointing and saying, you know, don't go there, or I can't believe you already see that coming 3 seasons before it happens, so it's a roller coaster.
I want to know what that is now.
Prophetic.
Okay.
And sometimes you're way off base, which is part of the fun of the discovery. I mean, I get such a kick. I mean, I kind of, you know, with the exception of Steph, I kind of think of you guys as the Scooby newbies. I mean, you're kind of coming into the game.
I like it. Clairvoyant. That's the word I was looking for. Clairvoyant. Yeah, so are we being clairvoyant with our theories, or are we being just ridiculous? Right?
So little both.
I say y'all,
little both.
All three of you are very, you're very perceptive. And I think, especially with Kim, watching Lost, and it's trained you to pay very close attention to things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to dissect a lot of things.
And to anticipate what's going to happen.
Cool.
And okay, some of it you will, and some you won't. There will be out of left field things that are going to hit you like a 2x4.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kim, just to backtrack, you did agree with Gabby. You're going to give it a 9 out of 10?
I'll say 8 after my second viewing.
Okay.
I think that it's very atmospheric, and I like the tone of the whole episode, except for, you know, the theme in the middle of the episode. Mm-hmm. It's odd. And the... I would give it a 10, but take a half a point away for the weird tone, you know, shifts, tonal shifts, and then take a half a point for the lighting, because you can't see her and the master fight, and you can't see what's going on. So I give it a 9.
Ah.
Cool.
I'll give it 4.5 white dresses out of 5. Now you can all tell me you really like my rating system.
Yes.
At different moments today, independent of each other. Yeah, I must say that this episode was something that I was looking forward to, and I can't say I was disappointed. You know what I mean? Like, there's always that potential that'll disappoint you, kind of like the last episode of season 1 of Heroes. Really disappointed. And I wasn't disappointed with this. I really felt that it was a successful season finale. You know what I mean? I didn't have that. Oh, really? This is what it wound up being. So I was very happy with it.
Yeah, there was one. I mentioned this to Steph privately, and I won't give any spoilers. But this episode, there were 3 points at which I turned from a casual fan to a rabid fan, and this was one of the first steps, was this episode, when I saw, you know, the speech Buffy gave and realizing the character interactions. This was one of the first times the eyebrow raised, and I said, we could be on to something special here.
Yeah, I believe that Joss, he knows Buffy. He knows the character of Buffy. He knows her motivation. He knows intimately everything about her. He completely understands who he's writing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it takes some of the other writers a little longer to get there. That's why you've got the rough part of the first season or so.
Yeah, because the other writers of this season, I don't think they had really written anything before, and I don't think they really write anything after this. Because
No, we do. We get a lot more writers in, and some outstanding ones are going to start.
Yeah, because in season 2, it's like this where he starts to build his writing staff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
time for quotes.
What? Oh, yeah. Sure.
I think we should let our guest Kevin start.
Yes.
Oh wait, don't we have homework to do before we do our quotes?
Sure. You want to talk about homework?
Homework.
Homework.
What we're supposed to do for the next episode.
Oh! Next episode. Season 2, episode 1, When She Was Bad.
Ooh. And I promise I'm not going to watch ahead. I'll just watch my required watching.
Yay!
Yay! Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to watch for next time.
Mm-hmm.
Quote time.
Sweet.
Kevin, would you like to give us one? You know what? I think we can each have 2 quotes this time. It is the season finale, after all.
Oh. Good.
Okay.
Okay. My favorite probably is Calm may work for Lokitas of the Borg here, but I'm freaked out and plan to stay that way.
I like that one, too. I really like that one. Star Trek nerd.
I have to cross that off my list.
Okay, Gabby, you want to give us one then?
That's okay. Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh. What do you think? 5.1?
Darn it, that was on mine.
That was mine, too. Dang it. Okay. Mine is, I would say the end is most seriously nigh.
Oh, Miss Calendar. She's such a hipster, deep, you know. Steph?
Just techno-pagan.
Yeah, techno-pagan. Techno-pagan. Qu'est-ce que c'est? Steph?
What does qu'est-ce que c'est mean?
It actually means, what is this?
It means what?
It actually means, what is this, or what does it mean? So when you say, what does qu'est-ce que c'est mean? You're actually saying, what does this mean mean?
Okay. All right. When he wakes up, tell him, I don't know. Think of something cool, tell him I said it. I think that's a pretty popular quote from the series.
And here's my second favorite, because what do you think 5.1 was taken? It's, oh good, the feeble banter portion of the fight. Any honorable mentions for quotes? Because I think there were a lot in this one.
It could be worse. I could have gangrene on my face.
I've got, you either feel a thing or you don't. Xander, you know,
so he's true.
That Xander.
Xanderisms.
Kevin, Steph, do you have another one?
I like the way they dropped the, you know, the Willow, the Master, and Angel all with the "I like your dress" line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked how when Buffy sees the dress, and she's like, we can't afford this. And her mom instantly says, the way you've been eating, we can afford it. Yeah. It was very Jewish mom. The way you've been eating, we can afford it.
Laced with guilt.
Laced with guilt. Absolutely.
I like this one. You were destined to die. It was written. What can I say? I flunked the written.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. <Yeah. laughs> That was very good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed our adventure through season one of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And join us for season two. And that's coming up next time on Potential Cast. We want to thank our guest, Kevin, for being on here with us and partaking in what is us talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. If you'd like to talk to us about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, feel free to drop us a line. 27040Buffy, or you can send us email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Indeed, you can follow Potentialcast on Twitter. If you do so, you'll be pleased to hear from us when we talk about when the episode is released and who might be guesting and stuff like that. So it's twitter.com/potentialcast. Potentialcast.com is the website where we post the episodes. You can subscribe to the episodes via iTunes or any other RSS reader you want to use or podcatcher you want to use. And you can feel free to check out the show notes on the website as well. And we also have a spot for you to leave comments and comment on the episodes that we release onto the ether. Thanks again for joining us, Kevin.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's been a long year since you've been gone. I've been alone here, I've grown. Fall to pieces, I'm falling. Fell to pieces, and I'm still falling. Every time I'm falling down, all alone I fall.
Ooh. All right. Well, we're recording, so we can just do whatever we want. Again, I'm a little bit nervous about the internet just pooping out on me, so forgive my tension.
All right.
Okay. We're all here. Yay! Time.
Yay! I have a new headset, and it's wireless. Ooh, and freedom. It's like rechargeable, and I have no idea, like, how long does this battery last?
Oh, I don't know.
I have no idea. Anyway, go ahead.
I think you start the show, don't you?
Okay. Awesome. All right, I'm about to have stuff together. Okay.